Every moment is bigger than the next. This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental.
They're all in that 96-97 range. 3-2 delivery. Struck him out swinging, and he strikes out the side. Mets win it.
Now to break it all down live from American Family Field, here is your host, Dom Catronio.
Okay, the postseason can begin. After tomorrow, there's a lot to still figure out. There will be the doubleheader, all of the chaos and the hopes and the wishes of they got to play all 162, the Mets and the Braves. You can't let them get off the hook. The one scenario that forces them to play both games of the doubleheader has come true. Yes, the Brewers lose today 5-0. That's not even the fifth thing on my list to talk about today. The Braves lose to the Royals, making it a 4-2 loss, and the Diamondbacks trounce the Padres 11-2, which means Arizona will be sitting on pins and needles tomorrow as the Mets get on a plane, fly back to Atlanta, doubleheader starting at 12:10 Central Time. Whoever wins the first game of that doubleheader clinches a playoff spot. If whoever wins that first game then sweeps the doubleheader, they eliminate the opponent, and the Diamondbacks would be coming here to Milwaukee. However, as we've seen so many times in doubleheaders, if it's a split, each team wins a game. The Mets would turn around and come right back here to Milwaukee for the best of three wild card series. The Braves or the Mets, whoever wins that series would move on, or whoever, I should say, the Braves will be moving on to play the Padres in San Diego, and Arizona will have to unpack and stay at home as they will miss out on the playoffs. The reason for all that is tiebreakers. Arizona did not win a season series against either New York or Atlanta, and Atlanta already won on Tuesday, which means a split gives them the season series over the Mets, which is why they would finish with the same record, but the Mets would be the sixth seed as the quote-unquote last team into the playoffs. With all that being said, Jerry Augustine is here. I'm Dom Catronio. After all of the what-ifs, what about this, we can finally exhale. We know what's in front, what the scenario is for who the Brewers will be. They could avoid the Diamondbacks. They could have the Mets come right back here after using up a ton of pitching in a doubleheader. I think all's well as that ends well in that they're going to play all 162.
Yeah, it's so interesting how baseball, you never know. It always comes down to the final day or the final couple days when you see good big things happen. And this is so unusual to have the teams having to go and play not just one game like we had 163 back a couple years ago. They've got to play two games, and it's got to be a sweep. Or it all depending on not only the first game, you win the first game, so much depends on the second game for both teams. So it's going to get interesting, and the Brewers are going to have to wait a little bit, but now they can go about their work just like they wanted to, schedule their practice tomorrow, have a good workout, and be prepared for whoever comes in town.
And for folks that are worried, like, well, I mean, this is something that really is going to come up in the fact that, all right, let's say the Mets win game one, okay, and they have a very different pitching staff than what the Braves do, and the Braves have been holding Chris Sale back to have him start an elimination game. So all of a sudden, you can see a scenario where the Mets win game one, well, the Braves counter with Chris Sale in game two and force the split. Diamondbacks are out. The Mets would probably start Sean Manaea on short rest on Tuesday. But the thought of it is, well, wait a minute. If whoever wins game one, they're not going to use any of their leverage pitchers. They're going to go all in to win the first game to make sure they get into the postseason. So this is the old phrase that I like to use, and it's blunt, but it's the truth. I know you've heard this. If you don't like it, play better. I mean, the Diamondbacks can sit here and complain about, like, oh, they're just going to lay down. Like, well, you should have won the season series against one of these teams. Or if the Mets are going to complain, like, oh, you're going to make us have to sweep these guys and to eliminate them, it's like, well, you should have won the season series against the Braves. Like, this is why we play 162. It never comes down to one game because it's the accumulation of the whole season when you suddenly realize, man, really stinks to have lost that game. Ah, really stinks to have lost that game. So there are times we say it, oh, not every game. You can afford to lose this game when you're in the middle of June and nobody really wants to act like it matters. But now all of a sudden you're sitting here on September 29th saying, one of these three teams saying, man, if we just won that one game, that's why it's such a beautiful, beautiful, all 162 coming down to tomorrow.
You know, they just keep in, and it all comes down to when you start the season, you have a goal. Win every series. Play, I understand, we play each day. You got to win each day, and that's one of the things the Brewers have done. But it's all about winning series. If you win your series that you against teams that you play, you're gonna be sitting on a good side when the playoff time comes. So it's just the baseball is such a great game because it's different things in different situations and different divisions. It all comes out in the end. And in the National League, it just comes out with the West and the East, and it's pretty neat to see that these two teams are going to end up in Atlanta tomorrow because of what? There's rain back a couple of days. The hurricane stopped a little bit of that. So that's all dependent. They have to play them out, and they're going to play the doubleheader. It's going to be a fun series to watch. A fun two games to watch to see how they approach them.
Do you know what the craziest thing of all of this? I mean, this was the one scenario that would force both games to matter in the doubleheader of all the combinations that you could have between if the Mets win or if the Braves win or all this. This was the only combination that would force both games to matter. And again, I know there is some people, I mean, Diamondbacks fans are probably mad the fact that, like, well, they're just going to lay down and not win the second game, and then we're not going to get in. Okay, I say this again. If you didn't like it, play better.
That's
and
right.
It sucks, but if this was like the regular week, you know, let's say they played these two games last week and Arizona wins today hoping for the best and the Mets win today, that eliminates the Diamondbacks. Like, no one bats an eye because you should have played better. So don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Like, oh, I can't believe they're just going to lay down. And like, no, every single season eventually has to have its fulcrum. It has to have its moment where it says, okay, they matter now. And that's the point that the Mets and the Braves and the Diamondbacks have reached.
Yeah, it's just going to be so interesting how you approach it. You know, I don't think you approach any game to lose. You go out there and you still want to get your work in. It depends on who you pitch. And, you know, it could even be that depending on what the Braves have to do or the Mets have to do, you might come in here on Tuesday night, whomever it is, and you, other than possibly the Diamondbacks, and see probably a bullpen game. It could happen just because the starters are limited in what they can and cannot do. So it's going to get pretty interesting. Tomorrow's going to tell a lot. It's going to be fun games to watch and see how these teams approach it. And I'm sure there's no team that's going to go out there to say, I'm going to win one and lose one. They want to win two. And if they're going to play two, let's win two and let's get some momentum into the season and let's get some momentum into the playoffs. So it's going to get really interesting starting tomorrow afternoon at noon.
And remember, the Braves and the Mets hate each other. I mean,
that's right.
There have been division. So many scenarios where the Mets have been bounced by the Braves over
that's
the years,
right.
Including a couple of years ago when the Mets in 2022 did not celebrate when they clinched a postseason spot in 2022 because they thought they were going to clinch the East and then really pop bottles in that one. Well, the Braves swept them.
That's right.
And then took the East. So then the Mets lost in the wild card round. So they never got a chance to pop bottles. So there is some animosity, and it goes even further back than that. But I mean, the Mets and the Braves hate each other. Of course, the Braves run in the 90s. The Mets haven't won a world title since 86 in that legendary season. They lost it to the Yankees in 2000. So the Mets are, they're starved. And that's a wild sentence to say for the team with the highest payroll in baseball.
Well, and that's a division that, you know, there's so much competition in that division. You look beyond what the three teams that are playing. You look at the Nationals, and Miami had a struggle year, but the year before that, they'd done pretty well. This is a division that, you know, each and every team takes it very seriously to win in their division, just like the Brewers did this year. By going out and winning every series in the division just made things a lot easier, just made things flow much easier for the Brewers. And I tell you what, when you look at that NL East, that's a good, strong division. And these teams, they're just out to beat each one of them. They don't care about each one. They want to be better than them. They want to win this series, and they want to have a winning series within that division that's so important.
855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone number here on 620 WTMJ. Jenny from Vernon, given all the insane playoff scenarios, what are your thoughts? Did the Brewers roll over today? Thanks for the love there, Jenny. No, they didn't roll over because there was literally nothing to play for. Quite frankly, literally. The Brewers could have won 15 to nothing. Doesn't change the fact that they're waiting to find out who plays on Tuesday. They could have won. They could have lost 20 to nothing. Literally does not change the fact that the Mets would have to still go to Atlanta to play a doubleheader. And all that mattered, and I love the moment that they gave to Willy Adames, make sure he gets through healthy, given you now you've lost Sal Frelick for a little bit here. Make sure you get through the game healthy. Get the work in that you need to get in. We knew we weren't going to see Devin Williams. We knew we weren't going to see Pyomps or McGill or any. Contreras had the day off. Today was get through the day. If you want to call that rolling over, sure, but you've earned the opportunity to just finally, for the first time all year, coast and get ready for Tuesday.
Yeah, there was. And I tell you, you can't take anything from Peterson the way he threw the ball today. You look at the seven innings of shutout baseball, they're giving up just one hit, and that hit was in the first inning. He threw the ball real well. And you see what he's done over his last nine games. Six or seven out of his last nine games have been quality starts. This is a guy who's 10-3 with a 290. He's one of the better pitchers, and he threw the ball very, very well. Meaningful game for him. He was up to throwing the ball very well, and he did a great job for the Mets today.
And we'll talk more about the game here in a moment, but as we move to go to our first break of the night, let's just give you the picture now of the postseason. Starting over in the American League, because we're not going to talk much about the American League. The only news that came out of the AL today was a change in seeding in a canceled game. The teams with a bye, Cleveland's a team with a bye, and the Yankees are the number one overall seed in the American League. They had a rain delay. It's 4-4 in the Bronx right now against the Pirates. That sounds brutal. No, it also sounds brutal is playing extra innings on the last day of the season. That's what the Reds and Cubs had to do today. But anyway, The Astros and Guardians got canceled, but it doesn't matter for their seeding. Cleveland's the 2, Houston's the 3. So as things look in the American League, New York is the 1, Cleveland the 2. They get to chill. Then the Guardians will host the winner of the Tigers and the Astros. The Tigers lost today, falling them to the 6th seed. Kansas City's win moves them to the 5 seed, which means they will go to Baltimore for a 3-game series there. So again, the AL wildcard picture is Orioles hosting the Royals and the Astros hosting the Tigers. The National League picture, still cloudy, as we know, but we do know the Dodgers are the number one overall seed. They won again today, 98 wins for them. Phillies are the number 2 seed, 95 and 67. That's who the Brewers would be fed into, the Phillies, if they win their wild card series against whomever it may be. And then the other wild card will be the Padres hosting TBD. It's either going to be the Braves or the Mets. It would be the Braves, I should say, for San Diego. The San Diego would host the Braves with a split. San Diego would host the Mets with a sweep. And then the Brewers would host the Diamondbacks with a split. The Brewers would host the Brewers would host the Mets. With a split.
Yeah.
So that's the picture right now as we get ready to talk about this game. What are the takeaways? How important was the fact that the Brewers didn't use any arms? And does it tell you anything about the postseason roster? 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Real quick note, as the Brewers are NL Central champions, the projected win total at the start of the year for the Brewers was 78 wins. They finished with 93. The projected win total for the team that was going to win the division, the Cardinals, according to the projections, was 84. Mm-hmm. None of the other teams in the division reached 84 wins. Just letting you know that.
Wow.
Remember when you see that headline of, the projections are out, here's what we think. They're wrong a lot. They're wrong a lot. They're wrong on the Tigers. They're wrong on the Brewers. They're wrong on a lot of teams. That's why we play all 162. I think that's pretty satisfying to be 15 above what the computer overlords tell us what we're supposed to be.
Yeah, you see so many teams like, you see the Tigers, just phenomenal the way they played the last 40 games of the season. The way these teams just started throwing the ball very well, playing very well, and really coming together. That's what you don't understand about the game of baseball. It just can change. And, you know, every year we go and you can say one team is going to win 40 or 89 and one's going to win 90. It's going to take 90 to win a division. They could be so wrong. And this Brewer Ball Club, I'll tell you what, there's one stat that I like that I go over every day and I look at it, is never losing more than 3 games. And I'll tell you what, that is unbelievable for a team that is, has a makeup of their young players and the way they go and play each and every day. Is this team is just, it's unbelievable the way they go out and play. They play hard. And I'll tell you what, to go to a feat of 162 games and never lose more than three in a row, that's pretty special.
The Brewers get ready to go into the postseason battle with, let's face it, a team that nobody expected them to be here, but at the same time, they're here. And it's time to kind of shed that, oh, well, it's good enough to make it and all that stuff. I promise you, Pat Murphy wants to win every single game he plays. Now, you're playing, you can say you're playing with house money, but at the end of the day, regardless of what happens, if it's the Diamondbacks here or if it's the Mets here, the Brewers are going to be favored. The Brewers have already won 5 out of 6 games against the Mets. I know they lost the season series against the Diamondbacks, but quite frankly, I don't put too much stock into losing a hangover series after clinching the division when you have nothing to play
That's
for.
Right.
And given you nearly swept them at their place a couple of weeks ago, the Brewers are going to be favored no matter the opponent that comes into here. Quite frankly, the Brewers have the opportunity to just sort of get it done, like just win this playoff series. And that momentum will finally get to say, okay, now they're really playing with house money if they go on to Philadelphia.
Yeah, you know, and the one thing I like about this team and the way Murphy's handled it, he's handled it so well. He constantly gives little anecdotes or a little speech or makes a quote about something. It's all about, you know, preparation, being well, going out and doing the best of your job. Let's win tomorrow. Let's win that game the next day. And, you know, never letting down. I think the one thing that we have noticed as fans with Murph is he never lets down. There's always something in everything he does that says, you know what, this season isn't over till you play the last game. We find out where we're at. But you go out and you play each and every day as hard as you can. You play the game the way it's supposed to be played. You give it the best you can, and good things will happen. And that's what this ball club has done all year. And they follow that leadership, and they've gone out and done that.
So let's talk about today. Colin Ray going over 100 pitches. He wasn't his usual Colin Ray self. He hasn't really been in the month of September. He goes over 100 pitches, and, you know, I think, for one, that indicates, first and foremost, he's not going to be on the wild card roster. And my reaction to that is, it stings. Again, like, man, he definitely would like to have had a better September. But at the same time, the Brewers are not in this position without Colin Ray earlier in the year. So if it is indeed the case, given you can only have a maximum of 13 pitchers, you only would need 3 quote-unquote starters, it seems to indicate that, look, if Ray's not going to be available for, you know, Tuesday, might as well not have him on the roster. Things could change in the DS, but the year for Colin Ray to be the team guy and say, I'll try to give you some length today, knowing you're going to want to save your guys, I think that's a really, really sort of underappreciated, maybe something that we need to recognize of him being a team guy today.
Well, I think he's done it all year long. When we remember, we went through the middle of the year where he was probably our number one guy going out to each and every game and following, being the model of consistency in each and every game he went out there. I thought it was really appreciative that today when Murph came to take him out, the fans really acknowledged him and said, you know what, we appreciate what you have done all year long. And he's done that. Was he sharp today? No. He probably was a little bit better with his fastball than he was his breaking ball. It was a little consistent, and it cost him some trouble with some of the Mets hitters. But, you know, he's a guy who each and every time takes the ball and goes out and does what he has to do to help this ball club win. And I really thought it was really neat when he got his first save just back a couple weeks ago, going and throwing, going in that game and just being aggressive in the strike zone, throwing the ball very well. He's a guy that, you know, you can't overlook to say, you know what, all year long you've given us a big part of where we are today. And he deserved all the recognition he did when he stepped off the mound and walked to the dugout today, and the fans cheered him.
The Brewers have D.L. Hall likely on the playoff roster, TBD on Hobie Milner. I'd say it's very unlikely at this point. So they get through today, pitching-wise, kind of how you want. You know D.L. Hall, 2 innings, he'll be able to bounce back and be ready to go if needed in Game 1 on Tuesday. So I sit here, and the million-dollar question, I'll be talking about this tomorrow night as well, 7 o'clock here on Brewers, the postseason special that we're going to have for a two-hour show. All right, what are you going to do with the roster? You know Freddy Peralta is going to pitch Game 1. Beyond that, we really don't know. So where do you go if you're Pat Murphy, if you're Matt Arnold, for Game 2? And we can do this with both if the Brewers win and if the Brewers lose game one.
I think, you know, I think if they you go in line with what they do, you're going to go probably veteran. I think the way Savali has really pitched lately, he's just been dynamic. His last five, six starts, he's just been dominating and been throwing strikes and doesn't walk guy and pitches ahead. I tell you what, I think you're going to look at one guy you may look at right there, it would be Savali in that second game. And I'm going to tell you what, how you toss a coin, but Tobias Myers has just been fantastic, and he's been able to step up to the plate each and every time he's gone out. Now, I've seen what he's done out of the bullpen, and if you go to that second game or that third game when you start maybe a Koenig and then you go to it's more of a bullpen situation, boy, Toby Myers showed the other night that when he comes in, he can be lightning. He's the kind of guy that focuses on what he needs to do well. They haven't done that with Frankie Montes yet. Right. And that's be kind of interesting to say that they're either looking at Savali and Montes for that second game, and then they're going to go from there. But it all depends on game one. Game one will change everything. Game two could be a bullpen game pretty easy.
So I say if the Brewers win game one of the wild card series, whomever it may be against, I could see the scenario where Frankie Montas gets the ball in game two.
Sure.
Whereas if they lose game one, I think it goes back to that scenario you were talking about where maybe Koenig starts the game and then it's just you don't know who's coming out of that door. Could it be Frankie for an inning? Could it be Tobias for an inning? Could it be Savali for an inning? Could it be Joe Ross for three innings? It could be a lot of different scenarios for the Brewers, all depending on them in game one. So the simplest way to say it is like, hey, go win game one and you can make things a whole lot easier on yourself, because quite frankly, in the wild card era where you play these series, we've had 2 years of the wild card era, there's only been one series that's gone three games. If you win game one, you're winning the series generally, and that's why Tuesday is going to be so important with Freddie on the mound.
Yeah, it is, and it just depends on how that goes. And you take Freddie the way he's been throwing the ball the last two times out, just fantastic, and I'm sure he's going to give the Brewers a good outing. But, you know, they have four quality starters that they can go with. Mm-hmm. If you go in there and someone said you're going to start Tobias Myers or Savali or Montes the second game, I don't think anybody's going to say, oh, my gosh, how can you do that? These guys have all been quality the last few times out. Montes, yeah, a little bit of problem. We gave up a couple runs the second last outing, but when you look at where he's been able to throw the ball, what he's been able to do with it, that veteran leadership that he has, and he's been there before. You can't put him second to anybody the way they've been throwing the ball. So it's going to get really, really interesting. And I think the other day when we saw Koenig start the game and Tobias Myers come in right after that and saw the way Tobias threw the ball, I tell you what, I think that's a little indication that they have some options and they have different things they can do. I think they did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. I think they want to see how Tobias would, how he'd go come in the game, and he was fantastic. Just acknowledging what the team wanted, and he did very well. A little bit on Savali and Montes, maybe a little bit different, but I think the big thing they wanted to see what Tobias Myers could do out of that bullpen coming after a short start.
And then the best case scenario, too, is that let's say you win in two games.
That's right.
Those other guys are going to pitch in the DS because that would start very quickly on Saturday in Philadelphia if the Brewers move on. So we're getting ahead of ourselves there. But at the same time, you know, Frankie Montas has never pitched a playoff game, you know, with fans in it that are, you know, sort of consequence, right?
Yeah.
He pitched in 2022 with the Yankees, but that was a sweep. That wasn't even close between the Astros and the Yankees in the ALCS, and then he pitched in the 2020 playoffs with no fans in the crowd in Los Angeles, so things are a little odd in that regard for him. Savali's only playoff appearance was not a pretty one with the Guardians when he was facing those Yankees back in 2022. He did not get out of the first inning against Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, a ball that still hasn't landed off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton off of Savali. So we'll see how he can react if he has to pitch in a home playoff game once again. Now, you're allowed to carry 13 pitchers, and the locks are the guys like Devin Williams, Yoel Piamps, Trevor McGill. Then you've got Joe Ross is a lock to me. Aaron Ashby's a lock. DL Hall is a lock. I imagine we will see Brian Hudson here working out as the Brewers have a little workout tomorrow. I was kind of surprised I didn't see him in the clubhouse earlier today. Hopefully he's just on a plane right now on his way here. But I think everybody's expecting Brian Hudson to have some sort of role in this postseason bullpen.
Yeah, if it's not the first series, it's going to be one of the series. You know, it just depends on the matchups. I think the way Aaron Ashby and DL Hall has been throwing the ball and they're coming in pitching one inning at times. Extra can go multi-innings. I think that's kind of changed the way they're going to approach it. It's just going to be who they face and what it is. I really like what they have when you put Devin at the top right there, and then you got three strong right-handers are throwing the ball extremely well with McGill, Piumps, and Ross right now, and then you counter that from the left side with Koenig, Ashby, and Hall. That makes you pretty strong. It's going to be interesting if they get a Mears or Milner. It's going to be interesting, or even Hudson, what they're going to do there, what their options are, and whether they want to take more players or whether they think they're sound enough with the pitching in a short series. So it's going to get kind of interesting on their decisions that they make come Tuesday morning that they have to turn into the league.
I will say the Mets are extremely right-handed.
Absolutely.
And that could open the door for Mears to be on this team. The Diamondbacks are extremely left-handed. We think Hudson's already going to be on the team, but that's where you start thinking about your matchup lefties and how important Koenig and Ashby and Hall will be in addition to Hudson in those games. So you're right. It does come down to matchups in a way.
It does. It does. What teams are, what's their strengths and what they've been swinging the bat and how they've been swinging the bat and what's been their success. And I think that when you go down, I don't think you can make a mistake with Mears or Hudson or even Milner the way he's been throwing the ball situationally lately. So it's going to get interesting, but I think when you look at their top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys out of the bullpen, it's Williams, McGill, Piumps, Ross, Koenig, Ashby, and Hall for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Those are all the locks, and the Brewers have some tough decisions to make. I chatted with Matt Klein, assistant general manager of the Brewers, earlier today in the dugout, and I'm like, I don't envy your scouting team right now, given all the scenarios that are in play and what matchups do you want. He's like, we got the best in the business. It all comes down to people. So Matt Klein talked about that earlier today. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. This one from Doug. Well, Wisconsin sports fans, let's concentrate on the Brewers for a while. I like the way this first series is setting up with any team, especially the Mets. This one is a good question. This one from the 920. Who's more likely to win? Manager of the Year for Murph? Or Matt Arnold for Executive of the Year? I'd give that to Murph, because my Executive of the Year actually is not Matt Arnold. Sorry, Matt. Is A.J. Preller with the Padres for what all the trades they made and their deadline and what they've been able to do this year. But, yeah, Murph should be Manager of the Year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you got to give so much credit to Matt Arnold, the way he's approached it. And he's had to change his culture a little bit. Coming into this year and in the last year with David Stern gone, he's had to put some heavy thought into it. And I just like the way he approaches. He doesn't leave anything unturned. He puts a lot of thought into it and how he wants approaches to for this team this year. To what happened with the guys they lost from last year, to go out with these young kids and make that decision saying, hey, you know what, we're going to make this decision, we're going to go with these young kids, and then hire Pat Murphy to coach these kids, who is, we all know what he did in college. He was the youngest coach to 500 wins in NC2A baseball. This guy understands what it is to coach youth and how to approach them, and he's done that all year. He's just done a fantastic job.
I agree. Let's talk more on the offensive front on the other side of the break. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only. Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. You're welcome to call. You're welcome to text 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You're on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall, but they're in the playoffs, so who cares? They were locked into the 3 seed no matter what today's score was going to be. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for joining us here, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Again, we will be talking Brewers baseball all night tomorrow, getting ready to go, 2-hour special. I will be here at the workout. We're also chatting with Mark Adonasio tomorrow, owner of the Brewers. We'll get plenty of one-on-one audio with the guys here at the ballpark and get you ready, your full playoff primer for baseball tomorrow. All right, Augie, let's flip things over to the offense. And real quick, the moment with Willy Adames getting pulled from the game today, that was premeditated by Pat Murphy. you just want to keep him healthy, keep him straight. He wanted to give him a hit. You know, obviously he didn't get a hit today, but drew a walk, wanted to see if he can get to Yount's RBI record. But nonetheless, really cool moment, really classy moment to give him a chance to, in the regular season anyway, say goodbye to the fans here in Milwaukee.
When a manager shows respect for his players, that speaks volumes for who you are as a manager and understanding the situation, what goes on. I'm sure that was heartfelt from Murph doing it for Adames, and Adames being able to come off the way he did with Murph. And there's a guy, when you look at a guy go out and play every game and smile and go out and do the things you have to do as a leader, Adames has been there all year long. And I thought that was really appreciative. I thought that was really a neat part of the game where you go out and you say, hey, you know what? Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you do for our ball club. And I thought that was really important.
And let's just, hey, there's an elephant over there.
Yeah.
Willie's probably not coming back next year, okay? And it stinks, and it's frustrating. He's going to get a very, very, very pretty penny next season.
That's right.
Now, he's going to continue to make memories for that team. But, man, this could be one heck of a quote-unquote last dance, if you will. The Brewers can make a run, have Willie be involved with it, a guy that was part of a handful of guys that's in that clubhouse that have played in a World Series. And as we know in the playoffs and overall, not just in the World Series, offense is at a premium. So guys like Willie, who have tasted the postseason, guys like Reese, guys like Gary, guys that understand it's going to get harder. Contreras, who's played in the World
Absolutely.
Series.
Absolutely.
These guys know it's going to get harder. You're not going to see 7-8 runs anymore. You're going to see like 3-5 runs, and those are great days for the offense because it only gets more difficult from here. What jumps out to you about the Brewers' offense that says, hey, they can handle this, they can sustain this, or what are some red flags? You're like, I worry about this when it comes to postseason
baseball. I like their approach from the beginning of game on, and I think one thing they do when you see them some games is they change their approach. They make adjustments when they have to. You'll get a guy come out and first game and they'll say, hey, this guy has the abilities to walk some guys. He pitches around the plate and goes deep into counts. They're going to be patient, but then if you get the guy who's going to come right after you, there's going to be times they're going to go up there and they're going to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get my pitch early in the count, and I'm going to take advantage of it. And I think that's the one thing that I really appreciative. And one thing I really like about this team, when it's like, let the person in front of you do, help out the person in front of you for whatever he does. If the guy gets on base, what can I do to make this inning better? And I think it really goes to show with two outs how they go up and they're patient at the plate, they take what they're given, and it's not about the home run, it's about putting the ball in play and doing the little things you have to do. And we talked about the other night, running the bases, their speed has been so influential on what they've done this year. And I'll tell you what, they do it every game. They go out and play hard, and I'll tell you what, they make good adjustments to their game, and they play 27 outs every day that they come to the ballpark. They're going to play 27 outs.
I think with the Brewers offense, and there are a few guys that have slowed down here in the month of September, and we've talked about it before, teams that hit home runs tend to win more often in the postseason than they do teams that don't. Nonetheless, I think that's my thing that I fear with this team, that I know home runs are not the main source of runs for the Brewers. But, however, you still need them in the postseason. They're just, anytime you change the scoreboard is the most important thing in the postseason. And sometimes drag it out offense, hard ABs, those are fun and all, but they get harder to attain in the postseason because you're facing quality arms every single night. So if I did have one thing to pick nits at with the Brewers offense, it's like, okay, if you're going to swing and miss, they don't chase, they do swing and miss, you need to have the power paired with that. And guys like Reese, guys like Willie, guys like Contreras, who are here to supply power, one of them is going to have to be it, that guy, to supply power in the wild card round, because you look at what the Diamondbacks did last year.
That's
they
right.
supplied power. They lit up on Burns. They turned the scoreboard on Freddy Peralta because they hit the ball over the fence.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot better approaches, I think, the last 2 or 3 weeks from Adames. Anytime this Brewer ball club goes out and does something, Adames is right in the middle, whether it's a base hit or with two outs or a line drive with a guy on second base or the home run when he needs it. And, you know, Rice is kind of doing the same thing. I see the veteran players starting to go up there with the idea that you make a mistake, I'm going to make you pay for it. And they understand that the home run does play big. And I think that carries over to the younger players. Get your pitch, put the ball in play. If you get your pitch, put a good swing on it, the ball will fly out of this ballpark. This is a very, very good home run ballpark. So if you put the ball in play, you can hit the ball out of both opposites. Some guys have that oppo power, and you can hit it out of anywhere in this ballpark. So we're seeing it, and I think it all starts with your veteran players going up there and getting that pitch and starting the line going, saying that, you know what, I get a pitch, I get an opportunity, I'm going to make something happen. And I'll tell you what, we've seen the veteran players do that in the last couple of weeks.
Do you have a way too early postseason MVP for the Brewers on offense? Do you have somebody that you want to point out and say, you know what, I think this guy is going to have a great October?
I think it's Trang. I just like what he does each and every day coming to the ballpark. I think he's a little bit an igniter, especially when they face him against right-handers, but even lefties when he's late in the game. He gets on base. He's exciting. He's got 50 steals. He's going to make things happen. He puts the ball in play. I really like this year what he's done as opposed to last year where he used to roll the ball over on the ball away. He now takes it the opposite way. And I think that one guy that can really, really start this the line going, you might want to say, I know Chirio is an extremely exciting player. Contreras, you can't doubt him, or Adames or Rice or any of those guys. But I think when you look at what Terang has done all year long in that leadoff spot, even in the ninth spot, he makes things happen. Not only is he great in the field, we know how great he is in the field, but at the plate, he can make things happen.
My pick is going to be Rhys Hoskins. And I've talked about how he's been getting hot, and not necessarily by hitting homers. Yes, he hit the Grand Slam on Friday night, but he's drawing walks again. He's spitting on pitches that he was chasing in August, and he's working good at bats. He had the day off today. He'll probably face a few more righties. He plays well against righties, and a guy who's been there, done that, he's 6 career postseason home runs as a Philly. That could really come in handy for the Brewers in October.
I'll tell you, that's a great pick, Dom. You know, the one thing I've noticed out of him in this last about 3 weeks that he's been hitting, he's been when he puts a good swing at the ball, you make a mistake, middle plate in and up a little bit, that's his nitro zone. He's going to hit the ball hard. So I looked at, I think, his last 3 or 4 home runs were balls up in the zone, and he's really put a good swing on it. He was missing those pitches at times earlier in the season, trying to be too aggressive, trying to maybe go out and do too much. But it looks like now he's nice and relaxed at the plate. He's making good adjustments. That's a great pick because he's one guy that in a hurry can put you back in a game or put you ahead in a game.
On the flip side, on the pitching side of things, do you have a postseason MVP for the Brewers that's going to keep them in the hunt in October?
I really like McGill. I think McGill is a really quality guy, and I think how they're using him to bring him in and face with guys on base, and they're bringing him at different times. He's the kind of guy that can, they had him even go out and pitch, get an out, and go back and pitch the next inning. I think he can be invaluable to this club and how you want to use him, because it allows Murph, if he really wants to, use him in any spot. And I think he could be really good. Although Pamps has been so good.
That was going to be my pick.
Is that your pick?
Yeah.
He has just been dynamic. I have a really hard time between those two guys on how Murph is going to use him. But I think McGill's been so dynamic, what he's been all year. I think he's got a chance, and I'll let you have Pamps.
Yeah, I think, the reason I think Pamps is the same reasons you're talking about McGill, but I think Pamps is even a little bit more of a Swiss Army knife because of the fact that he can get both righties and lefties out.
That's
I know
right.
He's right-handed, but lefties, I mean, the splits, I'll pull it up right now, they're actually shocking at how great he has been at handling left-handed hitters this season, especially on this run that he's been on in the second half. Reminder, in the second half, a 1-1-1 ERA, 28 strikeouts in 24 innings. Overall, this season, lefties are still only hitting .218 off of him. Righties only .153, so obviously better, but nonetheless, I see Pyomps as being that Swiss Army knife. McGill will likely have the 7th or 8th inning, depending on the matchups, but I think it's so easy to say, oh, you got Devin in the 9th. Well, you got to make sure you get it to the 9th.
That's right.
And these two guys we talked about.
Well, I tell you, Pyomps, you got to look at where he was. Kind of, he was a little bit off with his fastball in the middle of the season, was a little bit looping his breaking ball. I think he got a little bit lazy with it. And all of a sudden now he's caught out, and that breaking ball is just dynamic. He's been throwing it for strikes. He's got a lot of confidence in it, been throwing it real well. When you can do that, pitch with that kind of command, you're going to be very good. And I do like that pick. I think he could be as valuable. I'm a McGill guy. I think he's done such a great job. But I tell you, Pyomps is going to play a huge role with what this club does in the offseason.
I agree.
Or in the postseason.
Yeah, into the postseason. Absolutely. Okay, so I'll also put you on to it. Who are they going to play on Tuesday, the Diamondbacks or the Mets?
I got a feeling they're going to play the Mets.
Yeah, me too.
I just got that feeling that the Mets have been playing so well, they're going to step up, and now they're down in Atlanta, and I just got a feeling it's going to be Mets coming here, and they're going to have to be prepared because they're going to come up with something for game one, and then they have Manaea, they can come with game two. It's not going to be just stepping in and not going to have starting pitching. They're going to have it. So one team that we've played very well against is the Mets, so I want the Mets to come in.
I agree with that. I think that's the right call because the split is so likely, a sweep is so hard, but the Diamondbacks will be watching with bated breath back in the desert. Jerry Augustine, appreciate you. You'll be part of our postseason coverage as well. Can't wait to talk more ball with you as the crew get ready for Tuesday and the wild card round once again.
Yeah, we got to lift it up a little bit. It just gets so exciting. It's the best time of the year. Once you put the uniform on and you get the fans and everything that goes on in the playoffs, it's just so exciting and it's just so much fun to be a part of it. I'm glad to be a part of it with you.
All right, fantastic stuff. Jerry Augustine here, former Brewers pitcher on WTMJ. Take a breather, come back with more. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Brewers get the defeat, but they are moving up to the three spot, still getting ready to go for Tuesday. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks for joining us here. Wallowing in your Packers defeat, but it's no big deal. We're here. Brewers are in the postseason. And things are going to be fun, man. This is going to be what it's all about. And for the Brewers and this run that they're on, we talked to Ricky Weeks earlier today talking about the fact that he's been a part of this team and how the standard has been raised postseason 6 of the last 8 years for the Brewers. I mean, 2020 was here, but they even made it in that season, right? They make it in 2021 winning the division. They win the division last year. Win the division this year. 93 wins. The standard is so much higher. And I was having a conversation with Rhys Hoskins earlier today in the clubhouse just about, you know, congrats on the year and everything. And was it everything you hoped it would be? He's like, this has been so much fun. And obviously, he's had fun with the Phillies and going to a World Series in 2022. And you know, I asked him, you called your shot in the introductory press conference. I came here because these guys win, and I expect to keep winning. And the word is out there now. I mean, this is becoming a free agent destination where impact players want to come here. And I think this all sort of started, and the standard was set not only when the Brewers traded for Christian Yelich, but then signed Lorenzo Cain. I think of that day, and I think of that day because David Stearns was in the building, obviously, this week. And I think of the fact that the Brewers sort of asserted themselves after becoming so close in 2017 to then follow that up and say, all in. Not even all in. A smart re-raise, if you will, by signing Cain to his extension, getting Yelly in the building, and then a couple years later, of course, signing his extension to make it clear that guy's not going anywhere. The pitching development has been fantastic. At the time, it was Derek Johnson. Now it's Chris Hook and everybody involved there. And the people is the number one thing that everybody talks about. We talked about it on the clinch night. We talked about it with Chris Hook. We've talked about it with Matt Arnold over the years. The people. And so the Brewers people can sit here and reap their rewards and see, once again, a chance to win it all. I mean, there are teams going home that, quite frankly, not expecting to be done for the year after today. Look at the Cubs. Look at the Reds. Look at the Cardinals. All of them thought that they were going to keep on playing. Look at the Red Sox. Look at the Rays. Look at the teams that, yeah, I mean, even the Twins, right? Like, these are teams that everyone expected, all right, well, they should be in the hunt, right? Well, all right, well, they're home. They don't make the playoffs. It's just so sudden. It's like, all right, you're done. No more. You're done. That's it. You don't get to keep playing. And the only ones that get the chance to play, the men in the arena, if you will, the old line, like, I only respect the man who's marred been dirt and sweat by the man in the arena. You can only criticize the Brewers for not winning series. Would you rather be criticized for not winning series or not getting there at all? And that sounds like, all right, Dom, I mean, that's a really short goalpost to just get there is okay. It's not enough. I think the Brewers should be favored to win a series coming up Tuesday through Thursday of this week. And then you see what you can do against the Phillies and that pitching staff sitting there waiting for you in that raucous environment. But quite frankly, the standard has been raised once again. Now, initially 2018, it was get back to the postseason. Then it was get to the NLCS. They get to the NLCS, and they're one win away from getting back to the World Series. And then, you know, the wild card game in 19. 2020 was weird for everybody. 2021, they lose in the DS in a tough series against the Braves. 2022, they miss out in the playoffs by two games. 2023, they get bounced and swept in the first two games, and they change their manager, they change their look, they change their approach to how they're going to win games with the mix of speed and power. And here we are again. The standard has been raised. Win a playoff series. Win tonight. As Pat Murphy always likes to say, the Brewers will have the opportunity to do so on Tuesday, opponent TBD. Some details have emerged from tomorrow's doubleheader. Again, it starts at 12:10 Central Time. The Brewers will watch again, if you missed it earlier, if it's a split between the Braves and the Mets will be turning around and coming right back here. But then whoever sweeps would move on to San Diego. If it's 2-0 for whatever team it is, they would move on to San Diego, and then Arizona would be coming right back here for the wild card series. And what we know about the doubleheader tomorrow is for the Braves, it'll be Spencer Schwellenbach starting game one of the doubleheader. They have to play both games of the doubleheader. If the Braves need to win game two, they will start Chris Sale. But if they win game one, they will sit Chris Sale and have a bullpen game and have Sale start game one of their wild card series against the Padres. The Mets have not decided who is going to pitch yet for the doubleheader. They have the main key of this is Luis Severino. Does Severino start game one, make it to the playoffs, and then figure it out for game two? Or do you save him for game two in case it's an elimination game, kind of like what the Braves are doing with Sale? The problem is the Mets don't exactly have the same caliber player like Schwellenbach to start game one, so they're still figuring it out for tomorrow. Again, that game starts at 12:10 Central Time. It's actually going to be televised on ESPN2 if you want to catch that doubleheader as well. And we'll be here doing a show live from 7 o'clock to 9 here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Normally in the next segment we'll hear from Pat Murphy, but we had an issue with the audio recording today, so instead we're going to talk a little bit more about the playoff picture overall and what October could hold for the National League and a little bit of the American League up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. BEI is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trust in your family's comfort at home with Sider. And there's still time to schedule your annual furnace tune-up. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. They're offering $20 off through the end of October. So remember it through the postseason. Act fast and schedule your appointment at SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Again, to reiterate, the playoff field is set for the American League side. The number one seed is the Yankees. The number two is the Guardians. Those two teams have a bye. Then the wild card series will be the Astros hosting the Tigers. That series would feed into the Guardians series. And then it would be the Orioles hosting the Royals. Tongue twister there. That series feeds into the Yankees, which means the DS could feature Yankees-Orioles and could feature Tigers-Guardians. So we could see some divisional matchups in the divisional round. So it could be exciting to see in the American League side of things. On the National League, we know about all the chaos with that, but we know San Diego just gets to put their feet up and watch the chaos and see who's going to be making a cross-country flight to them after the game tomorrow. I mean, that's something kind of lost in the detail of all this. Everyone's talking about, oh, just get in, just get in. Like, one of these teams is going to have to fly cross-country to get to San Diego to get ready to go with that one. Another thing to note, tickets are still available for the postseason here in Milwaukee. We don't know the game time yet. We won't know the game time until tomorrow, until we know who the Brewers' opponent will be. With that being said, though, we feel very certain that it's going to be a night game. And this is me talking now, not the Brewers telling me to say anything like, it's going to be a night game. If it's not a night game, there's something wrong, because you look at it, let's think logically for a second here. You've got the Orioles hosting Eastern Time. They'll probably be the first game of the day. You've got the Astros hosting Central Time. They'll probably be the second game of the day. Then you've got a West Coast team, San Diego, that's locked in. They have to be the last game of the night. That leaves Milwaukee being the third game, likely 5 to 6:30 range, somewhere in there for the game tomorrow, Tuesday. So we'll know more tomorrow. I know everybody wants to know game time, but we just don't yet. So sorry about that. Take a breather and come back with more. There weren't any highlights from this one because the Brewers only had three hits. But we'll preview a little bit of tomorrow's content and try to project out to what the pitching rotation will look like for whoever the Brewers will be facing coming up this week on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Also, quick shout out down in Kansas City, Alec Marsh, who started today for the Royals. He's a Milwaukee kid. He's the first Milwaukee public school big leaguer since Bob Uecker. It's wild. So shout out to Reagan Prep. Everybody's going nuts there for Alec Marsh. There's a chance when the Brewers meet the Royals in the World Series, he'll have one heck of a homecoming. But for the Brewers in their pitching rotation heading into this wild card series, we'll know more tomorrow, and we just got word that we'll be talking, we'll get one-on-ones with a lot of guys, but the whole media will talk to Willie Adames, we will talk to Pat Murphy, of course, as well, and we'll talk to Freddy Peralta as the crew gets ready to host their workout tomorrow. We'll also talk to Reese Hoskins and a handful of other folks here for the crew as they get ready for the game tomorrow. Again, 7 o'clock here live from American Family Field. I'll be giving you all the content that we need as your official playoff preview, if you will, because we still don't know the game time of our game yet. Now, beyond Freddie, we've talked about all the scenarios with Augie. You know, if you go with 13 pitchers and you want to use only three starters, because it seems, if I had to guess right now, Colin Ray is not on this postseason roster, which means with three starters, let's assume that it's going to be, you know, quote-unquote starters, going to be Frankie Montas, Aaron Civale, and Freddy Peralta, you could still have Tobias Myers in that role that I was penciling in for Colin Ray, but maybe he's just used as a starter. You can go Freddy Peralta game one, TBD, TBD. And it literally depends on the game. There's no reason you have to announce it or anything like that. And if you're facing the Mets, you'll probably face Sean Manaea on short rest on game one, especially if they need to use Severino in game two in order to survive. Then in that scenario, if they use Severino in game two to survive, or whatever they decide to use Severino, because they're going to have to use him, I imagine, tomorrow, Manaea on short rest, and then maybe somebody... you know, maybe it's a bullpen day. Maybe you have Maton start the game or whatever it may be. But they're in a very different shape than what the Diamondbacks would be. The Diamondbacks would be able to just start Zach Gallen, have Merrill Kelly, and then figure it out for game three. So the Diamondbacks pitching is in a much better stance than what the Mets pitching would be. Shocker, they don't have to play a doubleheader tomorrow. That's just a quick look at the pitching. Now, let's take our last break of the night and get ready to say so long before we got more coverage coming tomorrow on WTMJ. All right, I got about 1 minute left. I just want to say for a moment, thank you to everybody who has listened or watched on YouTube all season long. Coverage coming tomorrow. We got a long day ahead of us, plenty of audio to come your way, so we'll talk more about it then. But real quick, if you've been watching on YouTube, and maybe you've seen my Twitter today, I'm wearing green and gold. It's not Packers, it's Oakland A's, as we say goodbye to the Oakland A's as we know them today. They will be just the A's next year, and I'm wearing a shirt that says, thank you, Vince. Vince is my dad, Vince Catronio. He has not been renewed heading into next season, heading to Sacramento, one of their radio announcers. The reason I'm in this business, and it's a bittersweet day to say goodbye to the Oakland A's, but especially for my dad, but who gets to be a grandpa for a little while. I know he's going to find more work, but to everybody who's reached out over the last few months since we've known this news, thank you from the bottom of my heart for letting us live our dream of my dad and I calling a game about a month ago in Oakland. So thank you to everybody who's listened all season long. My thank you to our producer, Evan Witalison. We ain't done yet. We still got more baseball to talk about. Holler at you here from American Family Field tomorrow. And as always, keep on swinging.